Christmas month of worship to you and to give you this time as we sit before you with our hearts open to receive from you. And Father, thank you for bringing each of us to this place tonight. You have something to say to each one of us. You have something to do in our lives and through our lives, and we thank you. And we welcome that, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be very present in this room, that we would sense that. And Lord, may our hearts be open to receive from you. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, for how great you are, and for the relationship that you have so graciously given to each of us. We praise you, we love you, and thank you once again. In Jesus' name, amen. She really threw me off there. We usually stand at the end, last song. Just totally rocked my, what's happening? We're doing something a little bit different tonight. I don't know about you, but when I walked in here and I went, oh, it's Christmas. We get to see these decorations that just do something within us, especially this year. We're at the end of 2020. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. And usually I think they start Christmas and all that way too soon for me. I know some people love that and all that, but I just at least get through Thanksgiving. You know, December 1st is a good time. But this year, it was like it couldn't come soon enough. I'm going to enjoy every minute and everything about it and just sitting there half the time not singing, just listening to those words and just really being in the moment. And I love starting off this Christmas month doing something a little different. And so what we're going to do tonight is I've asked three women to share, just each for a few minutes, something that the Lord's laid on their heart to kind of get us prepared for this Christmas time. And then after that, we're going to have a time of fellowship and refreshment. And the refreshment is COVID safe. So, you know, seriously, it is for those of us who like that. And so it is. So, you know, you can feel free to enjoy kind of a thing. So I'm going to stop talking. And Jeannie is going to be first.
Good evening. My name is Jeannie, as Karen mentioned. I'm going to share with you what the Lord has showed me recently, and I hope it blesses you. The first verse was, well, several weeks ago now. I happened to be listening to a pastor, and he began to teach on Christians being the salt of the earth and the light of the world from Matthew 5:14-16. And it reads, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house." And this next verse is the one that really spoke to me. And it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your moral, excellent, and your praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds, and recognize and honor and praise and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And a few days later, in our Philippians study, 2:15, "Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky." Then one morning during my quiet time, I read 1 Peter 2, the last portion of that verse, and it reads, "He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." On a Sunday evening, Pastor Damien was teaching in Luke chapter 8, verse 16, "No one lights a lamp and hides it under a clay jar, but puts it under a bed, but instead they put it on a lampstand so all that enter and come in can see the light." At this time, the Lord had my full attention. It was like a neon light. Whenever I heard those verses about being a light, my ears perked up. Even the song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine," has been playing over and over in my head. So I started to look at other verses on light and did some research in David Guzik's commentary, what it means to be a light. My thought is the Lord keeps bringing the theme of being a light to my attention. I needed to know biblically the definition, and I wanted to make sure when I let my light shine, I was doing so to please the Lord. And David Guzik's commentaries from Matthew 5, 14 through 16 reads, light of the world means that we are not only light receivers, but also light givers. We must have a greater concern than only for ourselves. We must have someone to shine to, and we must do so lovingly. Full instructions there. And you are the light of the world. Jesus gives a Christian both a great compliment and a great responsibility when he said that we are the light of the world, because he claimed that title for himself as he walked this earth. And Jesus never challenged us to become salt and light. He simply said, we are the salt and the light of the world. And the purpose in letting my light so shine by doing good deeds is to set an example for those around me to do good and glorify God. The object of my shining is not that they may see how good I am or even see me at all, but they may see grace in me and see God in me and stir their hearts to want what I have. In the Bible, light has always been a symbol of holiness, goodness, knowledge, wisdom, grace, and hope. I questioned myself, how do I let my light so shine that it brings glory to my Father in heaven? And I thought back to what I've learned. I can do this by drawing close to the Lord in prayer and fellowship, and praying and asking the Lord, who do you want my light to shine on? And by abiding in Jesus and allowing his love and his word to flow through me to whomever he wants and however he chooses. And my responsibility in all this is to be aware, willing, and courageous to shine where he chooses, because he has shown me in reading his word how to be a light. He has shown me I have all that I need to be a light. As in Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In this next verse, I'm very encouraged as I read it. It is Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? This gives me courage not to have the fear of man when I let my light shine. And as I was putting this together, I was thinking about the time I grew up in Michigan. Michigan is surrounded by the three Great Lakes, and there are a lot of lighthouses on the shores around the state of Michigan. And as a family, we would often go to one of these lighthouses in the afternoon and have a picnic. And my brothers and I would always go exploring. And I remember getting close to one of the lighthouses and just looking up and how tall and majestic they were. And then seeing that light right around the top and how this little beam comes out and it shines out over the lake and over that rocky shore. And I would just sit there and just marvel at how many ship captains would see that light and avoid that rocky shoreline and then be able to navigate to safety. And that brought me back to, I'm a Christian. I'm a beacon of light in this dark world. And I love the way Charles Spurgeon, he puts it this way. Now it is a rule of nature that the inward affects the outward as light shines from the center of the lantern through the glass. When therefore the truth is kindled within our hearts, its brightness beams forth in the outward life and conversation. God has called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a wonderful privilege to be the daughter of the King of Kings, to be a light for him, to call him my Abba Father, knowing he cares for me, he loves me, and he died for me. He has equipped me with everything I need to be a witness and a light. The Lord has shown me it can be as simple as a smile, a kind word, or spending time with people one-on-one, or even checking in on my elderly neighbors who are always thrilled to have me ring their doorbell ring, and they come walking to the door. It's always a thrill to them to have someone to come visit And again, I am reminded in 2 Peter 2, this last half of the verse in the Amplified Bible, it says that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him, of Jesus, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I believe as we enter this wonderful Christmas season filled with decorative lights to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, that this is a time to let my light shine bright in the midst of this dark world. It has been a year like no other. A lot of people are fearful and hopeless and without Jesus. But I have the answer. It is Jesus. He gives hope to the hopeless, encouragement to those who are discouraged. He calms fears, and he is the gift of salvation that I hold dear. I am encouraged to let my light shine, and I hope that you are too. And Matthew 5:16 reminds us, let your light so shine that it brings glory to our Father in heaven. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Bethany, and I'm so glad that you came tonight. I hope you know that you are wanted here. You're wanted by me, by your sisters in Christ, and especially by the Lord himself. Many of us are familiar with a poster of Uncle Sam, a gray-haired man wearing a tall hat with stars. He is pointing a long finger at us, and with an intense look on his face, he's quoted under the picture saying, I want you for the United States Army. His stare may be intimidating, but the message is clear. You are seriously wanted for the Army. There is joy that comes from knowing we are truly wanted. The Christmas season, with a celebration of the birth of our Savior, sends a clear message to the world that somebody wants us, really wants us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This verse can be too familiar to us, but God so loves us. And the love God has for us is a wanting love, a love that strongly desires the one it loves. We could say, for God so wanted the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Each one of us is wanted, not because we're perfect, but because God's love towards us is perfect. He wants us so much that he gave his very best. The baby in Mary's arms was given to this dark world to suffer and die and then be raised again to life in order to provide the way for us to come to the one who really wants us and continues to want us moment by moment. Every person wants to be wanted. It's a part of who we are at our core. I believe that desire was put in us by our Maker, who also has a desire to be wanted. God wants us to want him. Wanting to be wanted is a reflection of our Creator, who made us in his own image. It shows a vulnerable side of God, willing to risk rejection in his desire to be wanted by us. It's never from a place of insecurity, but rather it's from a heart that desires a daily, intimate, growing relationship with the one he loves. It's a painful experience if and when a person discovers that she is unwanted by someone she loves. It can be especially painful during the Christmas season. I'm not talking about being sensitive over the experience of not being included or invited every time someone makes plans. That's a normal experience of life that we should expect. but I'm talking about discovering that a close friend or a family member does not want your friendship or your closeness in their life. That is an excruciating experience. Jesus knows exactly what that feels like firsthand. There are people he loves and wants, but they do not want him. If you are experiencing that, the only safe place to go is to the Lord himself, over and over again. He completely understands. You can fellowship with him there. Let him whisper to your heart just how much he wants you. You are wanted by your Maker, who says he is your husband in Isaiah 54:5, your perfect husband. I think the most painful words that were said to Jesus while he was suffering on the cross were from the religious chief priests as they mocked him. In Matthew 27:43, the NIV says, quoting them, "He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now, if he wants him." They were implying that God, the Father, was not rescuing Jesus from the cross because the Father didn't actually want him. How insulting that must have been to hear those words, considering how much Jesus relied on his Father in his darkest hour. Does the enemy ever suggest that you are unwanted? Or is there someone in your life who needs to know they are truly wanted? We can look at the heart of God revealed in the Christmas story. For God so loved, God so wanted the world that he gave Jesus so that we could come to him. We must believe and take this in. It is not enough to know we are wanted. We must respond with our hearts. David wrote in Psalms 27, the NLT, he wrote, "My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming." Jesus was born as a vulnerable baby, and he still allows himself to be vulnerable today. This Christmas, we can want him, or we can avoid or even reject him. He is Emmanuel, God with us, but he never forces his intimate presence on us. He invites us to come closer and closer, to stop and take time to gaze on the one who lovingly gazes on us. There's nothing more meaningful and joy-filled than to spend time with the one that loves us and wants us like he does. We love him because he first loved us. We want him because he first wanted us. There's no social distancing with the Lord. He wants us to come closer and closer to him this Christmas, to stop everything and sit with him. May your heart hear him say to you, "Come and talk with me." And may you respond with, "Lord, I am coming." In the beautiful book of the Song of Solomon, 7:10, it says it so well. "I am my beloved's, and his desire is towards me." This Christmas, may you spend much time with your Lord, your beloved, the one whose desire is towards you. How great is our God.
Good evening and Merry Christmas to all of you. My name is Glinda. And as we gather to celebrate this joyous season, I am painfully aware that there are those who are suffering. It always seems to me that during this time of year, our sense of joy and of sorrow is heightened. This year has been especially difficult for everyone, and for some more than others. And I've been thinking a lot about that first Christmas morning. The story of Christ's birth is a familiar and beautiful story to most of us. We treasure our nativity sets and love singing Christmas carols like Silent Night, Holy Night, All is Calm, All is Bright. And we've grown used to the smiling faces of Mary and Joseph looking down on their newborn baby. We rarely stop to think of the pain that Mary had just endured in childbirth without any anesthetics and no epidural. She didn't deliver her child in a sterile environment, not even a comfortable one. She had traveled a long distance from her home and would not be returning anytime soon. A vicious king was searching for their child in order to kill him. The blessed event was a mixture of joy and pain. Those two familiar tracks, joy and sorrow. Karen read those words from Kay Warren's book called Choose Joy on the first evening of this year's Women's Bible Study, and I'd like to remind you of that again tonight. These two tracks, joy and sorrow, run parallel to each other every single moment of your life. So while you are experiencing something amazing, there is the nagging realization that it's not perfect. And while you are experiencing something painful, there's a glorious realization that there is still beauty and loveliness to be found. They are inseparable, always running right next to each other. Our goal then is not to figure out how to live only on the joy side, but it's how to live on the parallel tracks where joy and sorrow run side by side. Kay went on to say, I don't know if you realize it or not, but when you look into the brightness of the horizon, the tracks become one, no longer distinguishable as two separate tracks. For a Christian, the gift of Emmanuel, God with us, makes all the difference in the world. It is because of Jesus, no matter how deep the sorrow is, it will always run parallel with joy. God has an intended purpose for good with every heartache you face. He is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You can trust that He is working all things together for His good purpose. I read something recently that expressed so well my thoughts and my hope for each one of you, and so I would like to end with it. I would have pulled Joseph out of that prison, out of that pain, and I would have cheated nations out of the one God would use to deliver them from famine. I would have pulled David out of Saul's spear-throwing presence, out of the caves he hid away in, out of the pain of rejection, and I would have cheated Israel out of a God-fearing king. I would have pulled Esther out of being snatched from her only family, out of being placed in a position she never asked for, out of the path of a vicious, power-hungry foe. And I would have cheated people out of the woman God would use to save their very lives. And I would have pulled Jesus off of the cross, off of the road of suffering and pain, off of the path that would mean nakedness and beatings, nails and thorns. And I would have cheated the entire world out of a Savior, out of salvation, out of an eternity filled with no more suffering and no more pain. And oh, friends, I want to pull you out. I want to change your path. I want to stop your pain. But right now, I know I would be wrong. I would be out of line. I would be cheating you and cheating the world out of so much good this pain will produce. He knows the beauty this hardship will grow. He's watching over you and keeping you even in the midst of this. And He's promising you that you can trust Him even when it feels like more than you can bear. So instead of pulling you out, I'm lifting you up. I'm kneeling before the Father, and I'm asking him to give you strength, to give you hope. I'm asking him to protect you and to move you when the time is right. I'm asking him to help you stay prayerful and discerning. I'm asking him how I can best love you and be of help to you. And I'm believing he's going to use your life in powerful and beautiful ways, ways that will leave your heart grateful and humbly thankful for this road that you have been on. It's author unknown. Some of our greatest blessings come in unexpected ways. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, didn't arrive at a palace wearing royal robes. He was found wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, a baby born to die so that we might live and experience the joy and the sorrow that leads us to a deeper relationship and greater knowledge of him, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah.
I don't want to get up right now. I just want to take a few minutes so that we can let these things kind of settle in our hearts and our minds. Jeannie talked about being the light of the world, and maybe the Lord spoke to you about that. Maybe we've quenched our light, or maybe we just need another bit of encouragement on letting it shine this time of year. So we want to give a few minutes just to think about that, and then also what Bethany shared with the being rejected and having that need to be wanted. That might have hit home for a lot of us. We want to give that time for the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to allow our hearts to settle on the one who does want us and who we can express our love to and our appreciation to. And then the joy and the suffering and how true that is. They're parallel tracks. And maybe you've been pulled over to the wrong side too much. And we want to give the Holy Spirit time to even that out and settle our hearts and minds. So let's just sit quietly for a minute or two and allow the Lord to speak to us.